welcome back to episode 3 here of Team Talk. It's great to have you with us, and it's an appropriate time that we start our episode number 3 during the March Madness tournament, because our guest today on Team Talk is Mr. Basketball himself here for Team Automotive, and everybody knows him as Coach. I knew him as an assistant coach when I first met him, real coach, Tommy Goodson. Tommy, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming over for the podcast. Appreciate you.
It's great. Great time of the year for sure.
Favorite time of the year, isn't it?
Favorite time. Hands still get sweaty, man.
we're definitely going to dive in and talk about some basketball. How many years? 27, 28 now with team?
Well, I'm working on 27.
27, okay.
26 February 2nd. So
congratulations. Yes.
Flew by for sure.
When I first met you, you were on the sidelines and I was behind a microphone doing basketball. How did you get started with team?
So Mike Mallett was in charge of our car program at LSU, courtesy cars for the coaches. So the first few years, I drove a Ford from Pete Abington Ford in Ellick. And of course, that was a 2-hour drive up and a 2-hour drive back. They did not deliver the car. So you can imagine having to take that much time out of your day being a college coach. And so one day Mike Mallett called me and said, "Hey, man, I got a guy here, Baton Rouge Honda, Ken Philibert. They joined the car program." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Well, do you mind driving a Honda?" I said, "Heck no. I'll drive anything to not go up." So anyway, they gave me Ken's name, and also Shane Bersajay was a sales manager, and said, "Go out and see these guys." So I drove out. The first time I was introduced to them, I felt like I'd known them for years. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the last 10 years at LSU, I drove the courtesy car. So when I decided to get out of coaching, I had 26 years of coaching in, and I was young enough. I said, you know, I'm gonna get into something else. I loved golf. I had some options in sales with golf. Tommy Marty, who owned some golf courses here, had hooked me up with a guy from Easy Go Golf Carts, and so I'd pretty much decided on taking that job, but it was going to be a while before that started. So I called Ken, said, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna move on, get out of the coach, and I'll bring your courtesy car back." He said, "When are you going to start?" And I said, "Well, it's going to be several weeks. Man, just keep the car. You don't have another one." So a few days went by, and Ken called and said, "Hey, man, have you ever thought about the car business?" And I said, "Man, I don't know anything about the car business. You know, I love golf. I know coaching." And he said, "Well, okay." So a few more days go by. "Hey, man, won't you come by here and see me?" So I go by. He said, "When are you starting the other job?" And I said, "Well, it's going to be a couple of weeks, then I'll start training." He said, "Man, you ought to think about this." So we went through that conversation. I said no again. So another few days go by, Shane calls, then Ken calls again. Well, long story short, he closed me, making less money to start than I was going to make in the other job. So he was a good salesperson, but for me, it's the best thing that ever happened. You know, I thought in my mind, okay, I've coached, I want to try something else. If that doesn't work, I know I can go back and coach. And I thought, hey, I'll do the golf or I'll get back in coaching. And, of course, here we are a little over 26 years later. And
still going strong.
Yep. God will lead you if you listen, I guess.
So when you started, you know, like I said, I first met you when we were doing LSU basketball together. When I first saw you at team, you were customer relations. When they, like you said, when they closed you, when they got you, were you in sales or have you always been in the position you're in now?
I was never directly a salesperson or in sales.
Okay.
This position's kind of evolved because we went through some periods where we didn't have a GSM. We had directors. So I had a few of those responsibilities, you know, until we went back to a GSM. So I've kind of been involved in a lot of things. So I guess mainly now personnel facilities, but you know, I used to go to all the corporate meetings when we didn't have a GSM because nobody wanted to go. So you know how corporate meetings are. So basically, probably the last several years, 5-6 years, I guess, I oversee all the HR and the facilities.
Right, for all the stores. And we'll circle back about that before we wrap up. But like I said, it's the best time of the year for you and me because it's basketball season and tournament time. I've known you've got a good golf game. I've been fortunate to play with you, and we've done tournaments for team. Was it always basketball for you? Where did you get the love for basketball? When you were younger, Mississippi guy, was there football? Was there soccer? Was the potential to go golf and not coach? How did that avenue open up for you?
Well, baseball and basketball were my loves.
Okay.
And I actually got a scholarship to William Carey University in Hattiesburg's NAIA school to play both, which back in the day it was a little easier to do that. It's hard to do it now just the way the landscape
right.
is.
Right.
But, I grew up younger, say from 8 to 12 in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and that was a baseball-crazy town. So I moved to Tupelo, Mississippi. My dad was a telephone company, so he was transferred around. So I moved back to Tupelo, and it's a basketball-crazy town. And I didn't play much basketball. So all my buddies that I became friends with played basketball, so I started piddling with it. Wasn't very good. Matter of fact, in the ninth grade, we had 15 uniforms, and I got the last one. So I kind of worked my way into it by my junior year. My junior year won state championship in Tupelo, the last one they've won. And then my dad got transferred to Brookhaven my senior year. Pretty tough move. And so I went there, and like I said, I played baseball and basketball, and I received a scholarship. I had improved enough. Baseball was my best sport early, and basketball kind of got in the mix and got the scholarship to play both. When I moved to Brookhaven, I met my wife, Lucy, of 53 years, so that was a plus.
Absolutely.
Congratulations
on that.
Hey, for me, not her. But I've played both sports. I absolutely love them. I watch TV, basketball and baseball games, sometimes any level.
Yeah.
You know, if it's on, I'm watching.
I was going to ask you, even now, how many hours a week do you still watch basketball?
Oh, my goodness.
And she, obviously your wife allows you, because that's why she's the
best.
Oh,
we have separate TV.
Okay.
She's in the den. I'm in the TV room. And I wear the batteries out in that remote. And I love to watch it. And I'm still yelling at the TV and coaching.
So you still watch it as a coach, not a fan. You're always dissecting and watching schemes,
it's hard not to
yeah.
when you kind of have an eye for it,
sure.
And you're trying to figure out, okay, how are they covering the ball screen, you know, are they switching, are they hedging, you know, are they going under the screen, are they in a zone, are they in a man, you just never lose it.
Yep. You know? I understand. I watch it as a broadcaster. I'm the same way. I watch it from a different angle. And I know you're still in touch with a lot of active coaches. I know Vic Schaefer's a good friend of yours. For those who don't know, Vic Schaefer was a coach at Mississippi State for a while. Tommy, coach, actually told me, so I saw him. I was doing their game, and I said, "Coach, I'd like to say hello. By the way, I have a friend that says hello." So I work with Tommy Goodson. Tommy. And now Vic Schaefer's number one seed, Texas, is still in the tournament. I know you're good friends. And so you still keep in touch with a lot of the actives and still talk the game?
Yeah, as best I can. They're busy. I'm busy, but we text every now and then, a phone call. So, you know, hey, I'm old. So Vic and Kim and some of those people, it won't be long before they're out of it, and I won't know as many. So, but a lot of these head coaches were probably just getting started. Maybe the second, third assistant with some of these programs. So I've had a chance to see a lot of them kind of evolve. Hey, look, I'm so old, I've seen them start out become a head coach and retire. So what does that tell you?
That just means you're experienced. So believe me, Coach, you're not old.
I'll take that.
You're not old. What does Sue Gunner mean to you?
Everything. I'll never forget. You know, I'll tell you about my coaching career. You know, I come out of college, decent player, baseball, basketball. So, you know, hey, I know how to coach. So I go back to Brookhaven. I'm an assistant basketball. I'm an assistant baseball. And after my first, toward the end of my first year, seeing Brookhaven didn't have a girls team. So they come to me and they say, hey, we're going to start a girls team. Now, all the county schools, they've always had them. But Brookhaven, the bigger school in the city. So I said, no. And at that time, to tell you how old I am, they were playing 3-on-3.
3-on-3.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. So that was my excuse. I don't know anything about that 3-on-3. No. I told them. Well, they finally said, okay, look, just do it 1 year, and then we'll find somebody else to do it. I said, okay. Well, before the school year was out, the state decided to make girls basketball 5-on-5. I said, okay. Well, unknown to me, I haven't thought past other than, hey, I'll get a team out here, I'll coach them, we'll be fine. But I hadn't thought, well, you don't have a feeder program. So none of these girls have ever played basketball. So I've got to make an announcement. Hey, anybody wants to go out for girls basketball, meet in the gym after school, right? So you can only imagine the skill level was zero.
Right.
But in my mind, hey, I can make them better. The only problem is I didn't know how to coach. I knew how to play. Well, I got humbled.
Didn't take long, huh?
0-17, baby. And when we got hot, we scored 10 or 15. It was very humbling. And so they come to me when the season was over and said, hey, look, we'll start looking for somebody. You know, I said, no, I'm going to stay with it. The competitive side said, so the first thing I knew, I had to learn how to coach. So I was fortunate. The boys coach at Brookhaven, Bobby West, was just a great teacher. And he taught me how to teach basketball, not necessarily just to go out and coach a game. He taught me how to break defenses down. He taught me how to teach them offensive skills. Nobody ever, you know, hey, I was a player, I did it, you know. And so we went from 0-17, the next year 10-10, and the next eight, we never won less than 20. And the last three, we were 35-5, 30-5, and 40-0, okay? So I had the top play, one of the top high school teams in America, and a number one in the state. So Sue Gunner is getting a job at LSU, so she's coming to see good players. So she came recruiting some of my players, and I know you're wondering, hey, I asked you about Sue Gunner, so I'm getting to it. So she walks in the gym. Look, I didn't know who she was. After the game was over, she walked up. She introduced herself. I really didn't, still didn't know who she was. She was at Stephen F. Austin. Mm-hmm. But I remember that night when she introduced herself and we had a long conversation. I'd never met her before, but we had a long conversation. I remember one thing about her. She didn't want to talk about herself or her program. All she wanted to know is about me, my family, and that program. And that's the way she was. She offered me a job. And from day one, that's all she was worried about. Are you okay? Hey, what do you need? How can I help you? When the game was over and we won a big game, hey, I want to give Coach Goodson credit for a great game plan. She never took credit, never wanted it. So means a lot, you know, for sure.
Yeah. And the fact that you get to coach for the Hall of Famer. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Who walks into that type of situation where you're instantly on the sidelines with a Hall of Famer and the Olympic situation and everything she did?
You almost don't appreciate it while you're going through it.
No, absolutely.
And then when you look back, and just see the opportunity that she gave me. And when you look at it, Victor, the opportunity she gave me at LSU put me in this opportunity.
You and I are in the same, I mean, we're in the same boat, but differently, because I played at Tulsa. I transferred to LSU. I don't know who Sue Gunner is either. I mean, mm-hmm. I played for J.D. Barnett, and I'm working out with the LSU team, because back then there's no transfer portal.
That's right.
So I met with Dale, and I worked out with him. I've got a year off, and then the year I'm eligible to play, Dale recruits a guy named Shaquille O'Neal and a guy named Chris Jackson and a guy named Vernell Singleton. And he didn't need me. So I started my broadcast career. Well, as you know, they were doing men's basketball, but no women's. So we went to Jodine and said, can you give us some money, $1,000, to do women's basketball? And he said, no, I'll give you $450. Go raise the rest. And we did. But here, much like you, I know how to play. I'm going to coach 0-17. You get humbled.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into TV and broadcasting, and I'm on the sideline for KLSU. And I go ask this coach, hey, because I want to show like a telestrator, right? So I'm hand drawing it on a legal piece of paper. And here's this coach with the patience to come over with me to do a post-game show. And then I realized this is not just a coach. I mean, like you learn to appreciate it after the fact. I didn't know who Sue Gunner was. And I look back on it now, like you, I owe her everything because she allowed me to start my broadcast career. We did road trips with you, as you know, for the first time. But yeah, it's very interesting when you're in the moment and you don't realize just how special it is.
Yeah.
And because of her, I have had a 34-year TV career, and it was TV that led me to meet Ken, and boom, here we are. You know, it's funny how the road is the same. But to start in college and all of a sudden be on the sideline as a Hall of Famer, it just must have been absolutely the best.
It was, and you know, like I said, there's so much about her, you know, that is special, but not only hiring me, is she let me work, and hopefully I proved myself enough, because a lot of these college head coaches, they pretty much micromanage.
Mm-hmm.
But she pretty much said, here, you know, hey, you come up with a game plan, you do this, you do that. During games, always allowed.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, in the timeout, sometimes she just pitched me the timeout, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches, most coaches, are not secure enough to do that. And not only do that, but make sure that the media knew, hey, this coach did this, and this coach did that. But she let you work. And did we butt heads? Oh, yes, we did. But we never left there mad at each other. But, you know, hey, in the heat of the battle, sometimes you have some discussions, and trust me, I deserved it when she got upset with me, probably, because something would come out, and I knew as soon as it came out, you know what, that's not good. You shouldn't have said that. But she's we think about her a lot,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, special woman in what she did. I remember there was a point in her career, and obviously it affected yours on the staff. She was getting close to LSU making a move because y'all had hit a downturn.
Mm-hmm.
Early 90s, you make the run to the SEC tournament. Then you have some lean years. Cornelia Gayden, one of the best shooters I've ever seen, has no support, and she's on the verge. And I remember you changed your recruiting. You went JUCO. I remember Elaine Powell, Pietra Gay.
Mm.
I remember that was a big turn back then. The reason I lead in with that is that was a change in your approach as a staff or recruiting. Today, you've got NIL and transfer portal. Could you enjoy coaching today in this world? Because I remember that was a big change for y'all, but you know what? It led to success. It opened up doors. Y'all went and got Simone, and we all know that changed the program tremendously. But I remember that as being a key moment that you had to change the way you were recruiting and your approach. Today, it's like you're not only recruiting new players, you're recruiting your own players to even stay. Would you have as much fun as a coach in today's game as you did back in the 80s and 90s when I first met you?
You know, my wife tells me constantly, I don't think this would have worked for you. I think I'm pretty flexible. I don't think I would look forward to it, but I could probably adapt to it because I love coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love doing individual work, watching players improve and seeing the excitement. You know, from the I'm not on the inside, so I can't really tell you how it is. I think some coaches, for sure, handle it different. There's a lot of coaches don't feel like they can coach people up like we did. But there's some of them do, and you can see on TV they do. So I think I could have survived in it and done okay, but I think it would take, just like that recruiting, the JUCO, you didn't want to get JUCO happy because most of the time there's a reason they're in JUCO. So if in that time we recruited five or six JUCO players. Tony Gross was in too.
Yeah.
Another kid, Caritas Henry from New York. She and Pietra were teammates. But most of the time, if you recruit six of them, you might come out okay with two of them. And generally, a JUCO player, the first year was a struggle. The second year, we were fortunate. We recruited some outstanding players, but good character, didn't give us problems, stayed eligible, loved playing. So today, I guess you change players every year, right?
Yeah.
JUCO, transfer portal. Right. So I'd have to change my mindset a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting because you talked about coaching up players, and I used to be at your practice. I know I can visualize and see you. I can see Sue just leaning on the sideline table or midcourt while you were doing practices. The difference now, in my opinion, from what I see still doing games, I'm not sure you have the time to coach players up anymore because with this new portal and NIL, the players are going to come to you and tell you, Coach, I'm better than what you think I am, and since you're not playing me, I'm leaving.
Oh, yeah.
They don't stay anymore to get coached,
mm-hmm.
right? It's either I'm good and you play me, or you're making a mistake and I'm out of here. It's never them.
Right? Ever.
It's never them, and it's not and they're not coaching the way you coach because you could take a deep dive with players.
That's
now
right.
It's everybody's just like, well, I'm out of here. And even kids who are in the tournament and having success are leaving. So,
correct.
So if you're a true coach like you are, I understand why there are coaches getting out of the business.
Oh,
it's not
no
fun
doubt.
Anymore. I mean, because you can't do what you used to do.
Yeah.
Now it's all a business, like a literal business,
yeah.
to the point where at some point we're going to start seeing players. It's got to be a union, contracts and everything, because that's the way it's going.
Yeah, I think for sure the contract part of it would be great. You know, if you sign a contract and you leave early,
right.
there's a buyout.
Right, absolutely. Yeah,
and that would probably stop some, or if they just go back to the old rule. You can transfer, but you have to sit a year.
Right.
Well, these kids are not going to sit.
Right.
So they might want to hang on a little bit more, try a little bit more. But there are a few coaches that still, Kim, coaches them up hard.
Yes, indeed.
Vic Schaefer coaches hard.
Yep.
And they kind of look at it like, hey, if you don't want to be here, then I'll get somebody that wants to be here.
Right.
Now, they've had great success. They're able to recruit great players pretty much every year, but they still coach them.
Yeah.
You watch them.
No, you're right.
They coach them like you're supposed to coach them. You hug them, and
then
you
sometimes you get on them.
You got to spank them sometimes,
right.
too. So,
right.
And look, they see that. You know, players, they say, oh, the players have changed. Yeah, they still want to – most of them still want to be coached. And but you do have to have a mindset.
Yeah.
And I feel like I could. Would I enjoy it as much? Maybe not.
Yeah. Do you – and we'll get off the basketball here in a second, but since you mentioned Kim and being local, obviously she's done a tremendous job
unreal.
Picking that program back up after it got some low points. Kim was at Tech when you started, right? She played there, obviously, but then she was on that staff when you joined Sue.
First time I ever met her was my last year at Brookhaven.
Okay.
And they invited me over to see USC and Louisiana Tech, Cheryl Miller, Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Against Kim, and that they had a great team, too. After the game was over, Coach Barmore introduced me to Kim. That's the first time I met her, 83, I think it was.
Oh.
And, of course, I went to LSU. She finished her play and got on their staff.
Yep.
So then we were on the road recruiting, playing against each other. You know the only difference now in her is her age. She is just as fiery.
Oh, is
now.
That fiery?
Oh, my goodness. Fiery player. She hasn't changed.
Well, I was going to ask you how well you know her since she's
good.
The coach here, but I didn't know you met that long
ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We text and talk. I don't bother a lot during the season. I shoot her text, make a phone call. And the thing about her, former players and coaches are treated very well, given every opportunity to do whatever we want to do as far as going over there and being a part of that program. And I appreciate that about her.
Yep, I have heard that. She's very good. She's welcomed the alumni back. I mean, they just celebrated 50 years. It was tremendous.
I was there. Yeah. It was great, and she makes sure to make you feel welcome.
Yeah.
So
you talk about her fire. You made me think back of Sue and that the high heel and stomping a hole on that wooden floor over there.
Ruined a pair of very nice dress shoes I had one night. I'm sitting, she's standing, stomping, got about a 6-inch heel on, and backs up. I got a pair of shiny, they're beautiful. And that heel goes right down the toe of that shoe, and I pushed her back a little bit, and she said, "What?" I said, "You stepped on my shoe." "Well, get them out of the way." That was her.
Yes, indeed. How are you enjoying life as grandpa?
Love it.
Because you go to Mississippi a lot. They live, right?
I've got a 20-year-old second-year student, Mississippi State grandson, Cade, and twin granddaughters that are 15.
Boy, they're 15 now?
They're 15.
Because you and Lucy have talked to me, because as you know, we have triplets, and you were a little heavy, but we've talked about multiples. I didn't realize they're already 15. Wow.
Yep, 15. Wow. My daughter and my son-in-law work at Mississippi State. He's a research and professor in animal science. She runs a department research curriculum. They work in conjunction with the state of Mississippi devising curriculum, training teachers.
Oh, wow.
And she's been running that department. So, but now she's a tiger. One of my twins, full-fledged tiger.
Really?
So, oh, yeah.
Grandpa's got some influence.
Oh, yeah. Well, her husband is from Mississippi also. He got his degree at Mississippi State, his master's, and he came down here to get his doctorate. And that's how they met. Do you remember Sally Turner, that was a receptionist for women's basketball?
I don't.
Well, anyway, long time. She moved over into the ag as I think it had something to do with something to do with her status as a state worker or whatever. And so she worked in animal science department. Betsy was a student worker on campus. So she delivered mail over to that department, and she knew Sally. She goes in, Sally says, "Hey, there's a guy here getting his doctorate from Mississippi. You need to introduce." So they went through this, got introduced, got married, been married 21 years. 21 years.
That's great.
It's always a blast. I coached my grandson. He played football, basketball in high school. My granddaughters are playing softball and basketball and making some strides. So,
great.
Yep, enjoy it. Love it.
You try to get up there a lot for the games. I know you used to
as much as possible.
Weekends and stuff.
Yeah, and the technology's great. I can stream all their games. Their school, has the technology. So when we can't go see it in person, we'll watch it and then we talk to them after the game.
That's great.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. You kept saying you're old. You're 73 years young. Going 27 years. With team, where do you see the business and the industry? With everybody we've done the podcast so far, we just kind of talk about the business for a minute before we wrap up. But you've seen a lot from the customer point of view, the way they come in. You've certainly seen the changes and the trends, in the business. Where do you see it? Where do you see it going?
Well, I didn't see it becoming what it is, right? When I first started, it was basically, walk-up business for the most part. And then you see the internet portion come in and appointment based. I can remember when I first started, Shane and all the sales managers, and I would even be up there a little bit later, but they were there at 11 o'clock at night. The business was just, it was set up that way. Now there are not many nights they're near that late. We can pretty much close at a set time because now customers make appointments.
Right.
And so you kind of have an idea of when they're coming. Of course, COVID and the shutdown, that changed a lot of the volume. You know, of course, they don't make as many cars, all the manufacturers used to, but our volume's not as high. But you just kind of keep tweaking it and finding ways, you know, to try to grow it back, you know, to maximize profits in other areas. So we never thought it would be like this. We thought it'd be the other way, you know, forever. But I guess it's like anything else, you know. Things are going to change. Nothing's forever. But there's a lot of great parts about working for this company. But I've had a chance to see the facility. I've had a chance to see, you know, when we came in, we've added double the size of the used car at Honda. Mm-hmm. Detail, we had a little detail shack. We grew it bigger, and then we moved and then built a completely separate one. The parts department has storage trailers outside, you know. When I first started, the back area where used cars are prepped, that was all weeds. You know, employees parked on this gravel spot in the back. So I've had a chance to just see everything grow. And it gives me a good feeling to see a lot of these employees that I had a part in the hiring process, to see them come in and start as salespeople or wherever they started. Most of these people single, and to see them married with children and promoted to these jobs, that gives me a good feeling,
right,
when I look back. So I can't tell you how fortunate I am to work for the Peterson family.
And
I mean, it's unbelievable how involved Preston and John are. They know everything about you and I. They know about everybody's family. They don't just come there, go to a back office, and never come out.
Right.
You always just feel like, especially Preston now, he's just one of the guys. That's kind of how you feel. We all know he's the owner, and
right.
And right. He dictates. But, you know, if you put he and his dad in a room with 100 people, you'd never know that they were any different than anybody else.
Well, it's like, it's like the comparison you made with some of the coaches. Sometimes the head coaches can't let go and let you as an assistant take over. And we've said this at managers' dinners before. We thank them. They set the guidance, but then they let people like you, Shane,
absolutely,
JB, Rance, you know, go around the room.
Absolutely.
Go do the job.
Yep.
If they need to step in and re-guide, they will. But like you said, micromanaging versus a head coach saying, all right, coach, take over.
Yep.
Tommy, go.
Yep.
And that's what they've done.
Yep. They always have tried to – they'll give you – they know you're in a trench, so they always ask questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Now, sometimes he may say, hey, this is how I want it done. Okay, well, let's go do it. You know, so you always feel like you're a part.
Yeah. And you talked about seeing the changes in the growth. I know Honda's getting ready to undergo another transformation. You'll see another one. You'll see another new look of the building.
That's what I hear.
I've seen pictures. I don't know anything else other than going to Honda and seeing these beautiful renderings on the wall saying coming soon.
It will be beautiful. The good news is we've got an experienced staff, you know, because when you do something as significant as we're about to do, you know, you got to have some good leadership because it's easy, you know, for people to get frustrated. So it's you need a lot of good people to navigate it. Yep. So that we don't have our business intercepted,
right,
affected in a big way. So good planning, good execution, we'll get through that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Look forward to seeing the new look. Well, as we have been doing here on Team Talk, when we invite somebody to come in, we allow you the chance to nominate somebody. Shane was nice enough to nominate you. This has been your opportunity, and it's been great talking to you. Do you have anybody in mind from any of the stores? It could be part service. It could be any of the stores. Anybody you would like to nominate to get to talk to?
There's a lot of people yeah. that I would like to, and hopefully they will get their chance to do it.
Absolutely.
But you know, when you say, hey, I'm working on 27 years, I'm not even in the top 10. When you go around our the company, I mean, there are just numbers of people. It would shock you to look at that list and see. I mean, we have a lot of 30-year mm-hmm. employees. Mm-hmm. But so I'm going to pick one guy.
Okay.
And that's Ron Jackson.
Okay.
He's a salesperson at Team Toyota.
At Toyota.
And he was, I'm not going to go into his story. I'm going to let him tell you, but great athlete, family of athletes, one of the most solid people you will ever want to meet, and a great salesperson. So he represents Team Toyota very well.
Well, we look forward to it. Our first interview from Toyota. Ron Jackson, you're on the clock, courtesy of Coach, and we will set that up, and that'll be our next Team Talk. Coach, great catching up. It's fun sharing old stories.
Always.
We had some great memories. I know we have a ton of stories we could have told for basketball and been here for hours, just fun things on the side. But those were good times then, and it's an honor working with you now, and I appreciate you joining us here. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you, Victor.
We appreciate it. It's Tommy Goodson, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good day, everybody. I'm Victor Howell. Thanks for joining us. Ron Jackson's on the clock, and that'll be next for our Team Talk. Until we see you next time, go out and make it a great day.